This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, January 20th. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. A federal lawsuit brought by environmental groups contends that gray wolves were prematurely delisted from the endangered species list by the Department of Interior last October. In a lawsuit filed by a coalition of seven organizations, including the Western Watershed Project, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's rule to remove protections for the gray wolves is being challenged. In a story in the Montrose Daily Press, the groups say the Forest Service rule is improperly premised on reported recovery of wolves in the Great Lakes region, which the plaintiffs argue is not reason enough to delist the species across the U.S. Voters passed Proposition 114 in November to reintroduce gray wolves in Colorado. Now, despite concerns from livestock ranchers and others on the Western Slope, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is proceeding with a phased-in program to enact the law. Under the new law, as reported in the Montrose Press, CPW must develop the reintroduction plan for designated lands west of the Continental Divide, hold statewide hearings concerning scientific, economic, and social considerations, obtain periodic public input, and use state money to help livestock owners prevent conflicts. CPW will hold a virtual education and listening tour about wolf reintroduction from February through May to provide opportunities for public input on wolf conservation and management. And a Littleton man was arrested yesterday in connection to the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, bringing the number of Coloradans charged in the mob to four. According to the Colorado Sun, Patrick Montgomery joins Cleveland Grover Meredith, Cleet Keller, and Robert Geeswein facing federal charges for their alleged acts. They all posted widely on social media prior to and during the riot. The 9th annual Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum is coming up on Friday and Saturday. The agricultural event is typically held in person at the Montrose Pavilion and has historically drawn hundreds of Western Slope producers. This year's forum is going virtual. KVNF's Corey Stanton has the story.
As Colorado COVID levels continue to prevent large in-person gatherings, the Western Colorado Food and Farm Forum has made the shift to holding their 9th annual 2021 forum virtually. KVNF talked with committee chair Harrison Topp about this year's virtual event.
We are staying true to our mission to bring high-level speakers to farmers and ranchers in Western Colorado. And because of safety issues, because of accessibility issues, we decided to go virtual. And I think that's also allowed us to get even higher level, even more top shelf speakers to this year's conference. And it's really exciting. We're bringing Alan Savory, the grandfather of a lot of the holistic principles that go into agriculture. We're bringing in speakers from Sweden. We're bringing in speakers from South Africa. We're bringing in speakers from all over the United States. I think it's a really exciting opportunity. And it's going to be super interactive too. Lots of opportunities for questions and answers. Also opportunities to have online discussion groups and set up meetings with other attendees and speakers. We've been growing this conference year after year. And I think even though we're going virtual, this is still a continuation of that growth in terms of the caliber of speakers that we're bringing together, in terms of the needs that we're meeting for Western Colorado farmers and ranchers, as well as now farmers and ranchers from all over the country, because it's a virtual opportunity. We really see this as a nice step forward. And I think we're going to have, you know, between 200 and 300 attendees. It should be an awesome opportunity for people to come together.
The 9th Annual Food and Farm Forum will be held January 22nd and 23rd. For more information on the virtual event, visit foodfarmforum.org. For KVNF, I'm Corey Stanton.
Record-breaking wildfires in 2020 turned huge swaths of western forests into barren burn scars. Those forests store winter snowpack that millions of people rely on for drinking and irrigation water. But with such large and wide-reaching fires, there's little data to work with on what comes next. As KUNC's Luke Runyon reports, scientists are investigating what happens when a river's headwaters goes up in flames.
Roaming through a burn scar is like running an obstacle course. There are downed trees to climb over, duck under, and get tripped by.
Oh, no.
I'm okay.
You sure?
Yep.
And the trees that are entirely burned out, leaving gaping holes in the ground.
Wow, there's so much ash there.
Oh my gosh.
That is so much ash.
That's Stephanie Kampf, a hydrology professor at Colorado State University.
And they burn like all the way down underground.
Just like followed the roots.
Yeah, look at that.
Kampf and a team of researchers are installing a weather station and stream gauges along a steep creek within the Cameron Peak burn scar. At more than 208,000 acres, the Northern Colorado fire is the state's largest on record. Kampf wants to know, what happens to the snow that falls on a burned area this big?
Some of these streams
have burned so much. I don't know if you noticed coming up, like the whole riparian zone is burned. And so there's nothing alive at all.
Snow in the West equals water. And Camp says research shows fires can affect snowpack in very different ways. With no trees, more snow accumulates on the ground. But the lack of tree cover also means it's more exposed to the sun. And in the spring, melting can become erratic.
We're kind of in a brave new world when it comes to snow and wildfire.
Ann Nolan studies geography at the University of Nevada, Reno. She says another side effect of fire is how it can change the composition of snow when it falls on the ground. It becomes darker, picking up charred bits of ash.
And then all that black guck on the snow makes it melt a lot faster.
Fires are an important part of forest ecology in the western U.S., but Nolan says the fires in 2020 were unprecedented.
The scale that we're experiencing now, we actually don't know what the hydrologic impacts will be.
That's because no two fires are alike. Gabrielle Boyreme is a researcher at the Desert Research Institute in Las Vegas. She's looked closely at one creek in Yosemite National Park. There, land managers have been hands-off and allowed smaller fires to burn more frequently.
Do those kinds of fires then lead to less sedimentation and less problems with flooding and water quality? And it looks like they do.
Another hurdle is getting good data from burn scars. Landslides and floods after a fire can destroy scientific instruments, leaving the record incomplete. But as fires burn bigger and hotter, Boyreme says there's a push for researchers to get into the field and understand how fire and water intersect.
And so people are starting to realize that and starting to realize that, like, we're working on such thin margins in terms of water supply in the West that... No, we actually need to know.
Okay, well, I think we just ought to do this unless we want to spend another day looking for more sites.
After an hour and a half of scrambling through the Cameron Peak burn scar, researcher Stephanie Camp and her team have found a location for their weather station and begin staking it into the burnt ground. Camp says it can be easy to think of wildfires as singular, acute events that displace people from their homes and choke the air with smoke until they're put out. But when it comes to snowpack and water supplies, the impact can last for decades.
And so when those areas get stressed by something like a whole series of severe wildfires, then we're talking about affecting the water supply of not just that area,
but the entire water supply of the West, since most of our region's rivers start in relatively small, snowy forests. I'm Luke Runyon in Poudre Canyon, Colorado.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redman, and thank you for supporting local, independent public media.